meeting is now being recorded.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Subteam Track 4 IDN's Technical and Operations Call held on the 29th of September, 2016. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room only. If you're only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourselves be known now? Hearing no names, I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for recording purposes, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll hand it back over to you, Cheryl. Please begin.
Thank you, Terry. Cheryl Langdon Orr for the transcript record, and Rubens and I will be taking you through a few agenda points today. The agenda was distributed to the list, and we do hope that the change to the new Adobe Connect rooms both benefit us all because of having a more stable system, but also don't produce too many problems for those of us. There are a few of us, for example, getting certificate issues and things, but teething problems, I'm sure it'll all be better soon. Terry, if you could progress the slides for us. So at the moment, I certainly don't have control from my equipment, so if I can have the next slide, please. Terrific. Here's our agenda for today. We've done welcome. We're in the midst of opening remarks and call administration, and then I'll call on Avery and Jeff to give us any updates from the larger working group. Excuse me. We'll be doing a brief review of our last meeting and some of the AIs out of that. We're going to spend some time looking at the specific outreach questions. And in fact, I'm not sure why this slide set still has a discussion of name collisions. Rubens, I thought you'd removed that from the agenda. But anyway, if there's slides still in there, one of the things we might mention is a wonderful set of resources that is on the wiki now, followed by any other business and a review of any new AIs. Is there anyone who wishes to, first of all, make any changes to this agenda or propose any other business that they know about now? Being met with silence and no hands waving in the Adobe Connect room, where it's run with this agenda, can I ask, is there anyone who wishes to update or make a change to their statement of interest? And that is assuming, of course, you've all lodged statements of interest, and if you haven't, our staff will undoubtedly follow up with you. And if that's the case, thanks very much, everyone. I appreciate that. Certainly my system doesn't allow me to, unless I'm sitting at the main desk of my laptop. And that was progressing the slides and the side conversation between the chat and Evelyn and myself. If that's the case, let's get on with it. And I just want to ask if Ruben has any opening remarks he'd like to make. Ruben?
Hi there. Good morning, good evening for everyone. Nothing to add from me. Thank you.
Thank you, Ruben. Helen, we are looking at efficiency, if nothing else here. We're powering through our agenda already. Avery or Jeff, which of you or both of you, who'd like to give us any updates, if indeed there is any, from the wider group? Jeff, sounds like it's you. Over to you, Jeff.
We're not hearing you, Jeff. It might be you, Avery, after all. Right, Avery, I know you're not muted. Come on. Step up for Jeff if he's muted.
Well, it looks to me, as the Cheryl from record, that our leaders... Ah, there we go, Jeff, I see a microphone. Over to you.
Jeff can't jump in. Jeff, are you talking, Jeff?
I am now.
I hear you.
Can you guys hear me?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, sorry, I was having issues. Anyway, I'm on. I'm in London, so it's at night for me. So, we're working group updates, right? And, this week we had, we had a working group call on workshop 3. Workshop 3 are disputes, objections, and we'll hear more of an update on our full working group call next Monday. The biggest thing that we did this week, just the biggest update, was sending a letter to the GNSO Council talking about the question that was sent from the board to the GNSO Council and the GNSO Council to us on whether we could essentially bifurcate the process of working on some matters and launching in parallel the next they called it round. GNSO Council is actually going to, our letter basically said that we did not come to consensus on anything on being able to do that, being able to do it. We just didn't have enough time, and nor was there necessarily consensus that there was interest in doing that. GNSO Council is actually going to discuss that in the next hour, I think, is when their meeting starts for this week. So that's the major update. The other work tracks, just to kind of summarize, are finalizing their priority lists. And each of them have started on some substantive matters, and for items to give to staff to research issues or get data, or, you know, they're all moving to the same stage, same speed we're moving. So I think it's all pretty good. I don't know if you want to add anything else, Aubrey.
Nope, I'm fine with that. Thanks.
Terrific. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Avery. It's good to have these little updates at regular intervals, especially when we're meeting only every 2 weeks at the moment, because it does give us some touch points with how the other groups are going, and obviously it gives us an opportunity to find out if there's any dependencies that we may be unaware of that are coming up between another group and our own. So thank you both for that. Perhaps, Jeff, you can take more rest now if we've got you up in the middle of the night. I appreciate the effort. I would like now, if we can move to the next slide, we'll look at a brief review of our last meeting, meeting number 2, and any of the AIs that came out of that. For those of you who were unavailable and did not attend the meeting we held a fortnight ago, I would like to think that you've taken the time or had the opportunity to review the recordings and the high-level notes that staff would have provided. So we're not going to go into great detail, but amongst the high points from that was our agreements on our prioritising or our ability to run some of our particular topics in a given order. And one of the first things, of course, that we need to deal with is to generate some specific questions, some outreach questions for the support organisations, advisory committees and the constituencies and component parts of the GNSO. And what's important about us getting onto that in a timely manner, that's part of the work that we'll be doing today, I hope, is that it's going to be of some use, because a number of our different work tracks are also wishing to have outreach questions. So it's going to be of some use to the leadership of the work group as a whole if they have a grouping of questions that they can put out in perhaps one coordinated manner rather than a little bit from one work team and a little bit from another, and perhaps risking some of the advisory committees, if not other parts of ICANN, getting confused or getting out of sync because they may perhaps only be able to operate and give us responses when they have face-to-face meetings and things. So it behooves us to get on with this job of drafting in a timely manner and to see if we can have our questions coordinated effectively with questions coming from other work tracks. That said, Avery and Jeff made it very clear that if our questions, for example, which do need to go as early as possible in our process for us to keep any semblance of our planned timing going, if there is any undue delay in other questions coming in from the other work teams, it would not hold us up. So to that end, it's smart for us to start getting on to that job. We'll do a little bit of discussion and drafting today, we hope, and we will also look at some of the other drafting that has come out as a response to one of the AIs, or a couple of the AIs actually, that's come out of our last meeting. In our last meeting, we also looked at having specific outreach and questions to externals or experts. For example, in an effort to effectively coordinate and not coordinate with and not duplicate the work being done by the Universal Acceptance Study Group, an AI on staff was to reach out to that group, and I know Steve's done that and followed up on the other internal reaching out as well. But one of the things, I'll hand to you in a minute, Steve, because I don't need to channel you. You can speak for yourself on this. One of the things he did raise with us, however, is the desirability of having some specific questions to follow up with these people and these officers, so we can make sure we're getting the answers rather that we particularly want, rather than very generic responses. So, Steve, if you'd like to update us on your AIs of the little reach outs you've done, that'd be great. Over to you, Steve.
Thanks. Well, this is Steve Chan from staff. As Cheryl mentioned, staff reached out both to our internal colleagues regarding the inquiry about the scorecards, I think they referred to, that the evaluators used. What we also did is reach out to the UASG, or the Universal Acceptance Steering Group. So the responses that we got were to what Cheryl just said, that basically more clarity, a better, more precise request is desirable. So, for instance, the GDD, they noted that they don't intend necessarily to publish anything further. There's not plans for that. But if this group or this work track were to need additional information, basically putting together a letter to the GDD would probably be a good path forward, both in regards to the scorecard and perhaps participation from JAS advisors. So in that conversation about the precision of our request, I think it helps to think about what we are exactly requesting, perhaps in particular regard to the scorecards. So for instance, is it because of the overwhelming number of CQs? And then so by having those scorecards, this group would have a better understanding of how applicants in the future could better answer the questions and streamline the process, for instance. So, in essence, I think we need to understand the scope of what we want to ask, and I think that's an important step for us to do. And so, similar for the UASG, they expressed a willingness to participate, but the person I spoke to was Don Hollander, and he noted that primarily their effort is external facing rather than internal to the ICANN community. It's more for developers and CEOs, COOs, to try to build the communications outwards and evangelization of the program. But he did express willingness to participate. It's just I think it would behoove us to be precise in what we want to discuss with him to make it as efficient and beneficial. Well, I hope that helps. If you have any questions, please let me know.
Thank you, Steve. I know Jeff's hand. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Steve. It's probably a predicted response that we got from GDD staff to put specific questions to them. I think one, at least in my mind, one of the things that would be helpful, and you did say the reason, you know, is were the questions, if the evaluators, did the question or ask of the applicants provide the information that the evaluators were looking for? The answer obviously is not necessarily, because almost everybody got clarifying questions. So then it becomes, how can we word the questions better in order to elicit the information that the evaluators deemed material to do their evaluation? I mean, if I were to sum it all up, I think that's how I would sum it up. And then the questions would all pretty much all relate to that. So I appreciate their wanting to a full set of questions that they can respond to. But I think all we can do at this point is tell them what our goal is. And, you know, they're the experts in it. They're the ones that saw it. They can help us and steer us in the right direction to the questions that we should be asking, because it's not as if the evaluations were done in a open manner, which, yeah, I'm not complaining about that at all. They shouldn't necessarily be done in an open fashion. But how can we assist the future evaluators and, as you said, make the process more efficient, streamline it, make it to the point where we're actually asking what people who are experts in the field would deem necessary to evaluate an application, whether it's the technical criteria, whether it's the operational criteria, the financial criteria, the security criteria. So I'm not sure we're going to be able to get very specific questions, but if we can do a letter that states perhaps that, what our goal is, they can hopefully join and talk. I mean, I do see people on this participant list that are members of ICANN staff that, if they were allowed to speak freely on this, could probably give us some of the answers. But to come up with I think it's like a game of ping pong. They're trying to get a very specific set of questions when we have no transparency into the process, so it's almost impossible for us to get very specific with our questions. Thanks.
Sure, for the record. Thanks, Jeff. And it seems to me like you've articulated perfectly well some of our questions, and I thank staff for capturing those as best they could within the notes. Brilliant. Over to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Romescu, for the transcript. There is one area where information was public but was not published, which were the clarifying questions on the evaluation items that were published. So the initial questions specified that those answers would be public. Those answers were public. Anyone can look at them. But when clarifying questions were issued to those questions, to the public questions, they were not published, even not the clarifying questions and not the answers. So there is a lot of information that we could use to improve the process that is not secret by design, because these were matters that were defined by the guidebook to be public, and yet I can withheld that information. So there is information out there that is public that we could use. Thank you.
Thanks, Rubens. That's a good observation. Steve, you want to respond to that?
Sure. Thanks, Cheryl. This is Steve Chan again from staff. And I just wanted to note that the ICANN staff did release a number of applicant advisories that were, you know, specific to certain questions. It's not necessarily maybe as conclusive as this work track might like, but it does seek to provide clarity to certain problematic questions. So it's not the end-all to be-all, but it is something that we can work with, at least in the interim as well.
Thanks for that, Steve. That's important for us to note and to think about, pardon me, how we can work with. Jerry, if you can progress to the next slide, that would be great. Thank you very much. We have effectively and efficiently, I think, drifted into our our next piece of work. And this I'm going to delightfully hand over to Ruben, so I can take a much needed making of cup of coffee and bio break, seeing as I've been for the last 3 hours on back-to-back ICANN meetings. So Ruben, the whole floor is yours for a little while.
Thank you, Sherry. Ruben, for the transcript. One of the action items from the previous meeting was a possible outreach to Jazz Advisors. Jazz Advisors played three roles in the process. One was quality control for the overall evaluation process. One of was a backup evaluator in case that all the evaluators were conflicted, and I think they actually evaluated a couple applications. And they also provided the framework and studies and analysis for name collisions. So considering that we shouldn't ask them about the specific applications they evaluated, these are draft questions that we could send them, and they could either choose to respond us in writing, if they so prefer, or if they come to participate in one of our work group meetings, they already know what questions we would be asking. So these questions can work both ways. First question is a very open-ended question on quality control, as we don't know exactly what the scorecards and anything that we were discussing a few minutes before. We can't make, in this case, any specific questions, so we only came up with one very open-ended question, but if someone has another question to add to that, please raise your hand. In the topic of name collisions, we could think of many more specific questions to ask. So the three questions on name collisions. One is an open-ended question, like what we should consider, what could be made better, etc. The other two are very specific. One is the difference between in the last round, there were three applied for strings that they advised ICANN not to delegate, which was .home, .corp, and .mail. But there was a strong difference between one group of those, which would be .home and .corp, which are very in wide use over the net, and one specific, which was .mail, when the most prevalent question that is asked in DNS is the dotless mail, simply mail, not something .mail, not something .anything, simply mail. And it's not clear for some people, and I among them, why .mail was included in such a list. So we were asking a specific question about that. And the other question would be for any strings that they didn't analyze because they were not applied for in that round, would there something that would qualify to the same risk level that they assessed for .home, .corp, and .mail? So those were things that we'd probably be looking to, hey, that might not be a good idea to offer those strings in subsequent procedures, at least for the time being. So these are the draft questions. So we need your input in adding questions, in removing questions we shouldn't ask, adding questions we should ask, and refining those questions. Nathan, you were asking where we were getting the data on the dotless queries. This specific data was from comments from Google Registry. Google Registry was one of the applicants in the process, but they also operate recursive DNS servers that millions of people use around the world. So they have specific data different from the Hoot server data, which was the most of what was analyzed by Jazz Advisors. Jazz Advisors actually had access to a few sets of recursive data, of resolution data, but they were very smaller than the data sets used by Google Registry. So these are documented in Google response to the public comments. There are many public comments on the online collisions. I don't believe I have specifically identified those comments in the resources that are now in our wiki, and I will take an action item to single out that specific Google information that they posted, but the information is public. And Jeff Newman has his hand raised. Please go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah. Thanks, Ruben. This is Jeff Newman. I guess it's part of the last bullet that you have on name collisions there, or maybe a different way of asking it. So there was an evaluation done for, I think it was called the string security stability review evaluation or something like that. It was some evaluation done or some string stability analysis. I'm not sure exactly what was really done other than looking at, you know, whether it used legitimate characters or not. But my guess is that in the future, something like name collision review should be in that subset of tests for stability, security and stability. And if so, when someone applies, is there a set of data or some tests that the evaluators would need to run in order to determine whether any strings in the future fall into one of the two risk profiles? So they may not know right now which strings would fall into that profile, but perhaps after the applications are submitted, there's some tests or some data they can collect that would put the names into or could put some of those names into those risk profiles. Does that make sense, hopefully?
Thank you, Jeff. I will answer two parts of your comment. The first part is DNS stability review look at most at DNS protocol specification. So they mostly look at IDNs. They already ruled by at the beginning of the process that any ASCII string would be fine, and they look at whether IDNs would be an issue or not. So in case of rendering, we need to remember that at that time there were no label generation rules, so they actually made their analysis without those label generation rules. They just analyzed one by one in a case-by-case basis. And no name collision risk was part of the DNS stability review. And actually, I think that we should probably don't need the DNS stability review at all now that we have the label generation rules. But that's a point to discuss. As for having a name collision review, one of the problems we noticed among 2012 round was that in the 2013 data, resolution data for the root servers, there appeared more requests for the applied for strings than in the previous years. So that was probably caused by people having interest or people making tests or people making even scientific tests or writing their PhD thesis. So we suffer in this case from a chicken and the egg problem. Then we need to select data sets that are not complicated by them, the applied for strings. So we only can look at the data sets that come before reveal day or anything like that with the list. So we need to move carefully in that direction. But that is possible. It is possible. Any other questions, suggestions? Hearing none, I will ask staff to go for the next slide. hope Cheryl is back from her coffee.
I wish I was back from my coffee. we're still on specific outreach questions, so if we can move to the next slide. Thanks, Terry. And here, how you want to proceed here, I am a little less clear on. These are the specific issues. I teased them out from our mandate. So it appears, at least to me rather naively, perhaps, that these are the questions primarily that we could be asking both our communities, the ACZSOs and the component parts thereof, as well as any of our experts that we want to approach. If I could get you to, and you, this is language that you should all be very familiar with, because it's language we've been working with in the working group as a whole since we started looking at our report. Is this enough? Is the question we'd like to pose to you? Do these questions need to be framed differently? Are they all of equal importance? Obviously, under general, where it currently says consider how to encourage adoption of GTLDs, one would need to put that into a better semblance of the English language and say, how can one, do you consider that we did, or put a better sentence around it? I'm not the person to do that. I barely manage the English language as an Australian at the best of times. But I'm sure we can group think that into a better constructed sentence. But if you go through these now and perhaps start making some proposals or suggestions by raising your hand or just typing into the chat, we can start fleshing these out and adding to them, or perhaps I don't suggest we remove any of them, seeing as they are the questions from our mandate, but fleshing them out, and we will then, in this coming week, put these up into a collaborative space, a Google Doc, as we discussed and agreed in our last call, that we would use that, and we will have a link to the Google Doc from the wiki, and that will encourage those of you who are listening to this rather than attending this in real time to also interact. Whatever we put on the Google Doc, we'll also send to the list, and obviously any list traffic that is not duplicated into the Google Doc will also, one of us will take the responsibility of making sure it does get transferred across. So I guess with the set of particular issues that we need to address from the report and the recommendations in front of us, do you see glaring holes? This is not the last option, of course. This is just the first reading of these. There will be plenty of time to modify and expand if needs be. So other than the grammar aspects and the sentence construction aspects, is there anything that you think we should be asking in addition? The floor is open. And I'm not hearing anybody, and I'm not seeing anybody wave their hands at me. Okay. Well, we do have to work with something, so let's get these as a start-up. This might be a delightfully short call. Rubens, over to you.
Thank you, Cheryl. I'm not suggesting any changes to those questions at this point, just noting that most of them are very open-ended, so we probably have answers that go to opposite directions or answer different things because people understand that those questions different. So just know that you have, if people actually respond to them, because you also have a reason they do not, but if people actually respond, you probably have a hard time processing all the responses.
Thank you, Rubens. And remember, I made it very clear that, that Cheryl, for the record, by the way, that this was literally cut and paste language, not any attempt at sentence construction. But let's look, for example, at the one that looks at the encouragement of adoption to GTLDs. It strikes me that if we were to use even Google Forms as a survey tool for our questions to the community, that this would be one that's ideal on a sliding scale of 1 to 5, where we ask the respondents to, in fact, react to a statement where they fully agree, are neutral or disagree. In fact, I would encourage us to avoid the neutrality ones and not run on a 5-point scale but on a 7-point scale or something similar, where you discourage people just running down the centre going middle. So we give them mildly agree and strongly agree, etc. That will provide us with better analytics. The same can be perhaps applied to a number of the other questions, for example, or issues as opposed to questions, because they're not really framed as questions yet. A number of those strike me, should we be using such a tool such as Google Forms, that they would be good for a matrix response survey question. So you pose a set of statements that may in fact be the antithesis of what you're actually asking, and you ask the respondents to react or respond. So that's one of the ways I would deal with the inherent open-endedness of our mandate issues. I am not an expert in surveys. I certainly participated with a few of them, and I certainly have a basic working knowledge of how one can use different tools and types of questioning to extract more usable metrics. We will, of course, I suspect, particularly as we deal with the advisory committees, have to allow for some open-ended text responses as well, because it's in the nature of how some of the advisory committees answer things anyway. But my personal preference, and that's something I'd like you all to consider and respond to, either on the list or here in today's call, is that we should probably take a hybrid approach and not just have a traditional, here is a bunch of questions, please respond to them, such as we would see in more traditional public comments utilised by ICANN, but that we could do some more traditional survey-style material on some of these and use, sliding scales, reactions, matrices, those types of things. And if anyone doesn't understand what I'm talking about, I can recommend the Google Forms YouTube collection, where you've got everything from primary school teachers to rap artists telling you how they can use different types of survey tools to extract from their marketplace the information they need. Okay, so not seeing anyone else put up their hand. Rubens, is that an old hand, or are you going again? If going again, go for it. It's yours.
New hand. Thank you, Cheryl. Rubens, for the transcript. I'd just like to point one thing on this slide, which is a policy decision that is critical for this work to make, which is about IDN variant TLDs. In the 2012 round, ICANN didn't allow TLDs to be adopted where they were and possibly call it an IDN variant of a TLD. One example was .Quebec, which would like to have applied with both without a tired and with a tired, and Quebec is written in French. They were forbidden by that book rule at that time. So we should look at that this should still be forbidden, should be allowed under some condition like bundling. So if you have lovestory.quebec, what would happen with IDN variants that are parents of already existing registries or newly proposed TLDs. This is possibly one of topics the work group will have to look at. So this is the first step is making the outreach questions, but we should take most of the outreach questions to ourselves and think what we would do as a work group for this when we get the response back. Thank you, Cheryl.
Thank you, Rubens. It's Cheryl for the record again, and noted to Steve as well as for myself, some of your audio got a little bit crackly or garbled in the middle there, so we may have missed some of the examples and some of the nuances of what you were saying. So it would be very helpful if you can capture in writing, either in the chat or later on the list, some of the points, because I would have difficulty being able to write down what you just said. I don't know how staff managed, but yeah, there could be more nuances that we've missed. Sorry, excuse me while I clear my throat. My apologies for that. I want to thank Jeff for doing what I was hoping more of you would do, and that's put in some clearly articulated questions into the chat. That's absolutely terrific, Jeff, and obviously we will be capturing those and shamelessly stealing them to put into the draft of our questions. But I'd love to be able to purloin more words of wisdom from more of you. So to that end, looking at the time here, what we might do is move to the next slide, thanks Terry, and take it as an action item on all of us to think up and propose some additional specific questions. Doesn't matter particularly if they're open-ended or not, but additional things. Now, what we don't want to do, obviously, is create the world's longest survey. That would be a silly thing. So we need to make it easy, not onerous, for people to respond to. Remembering that, of course, if our questions to community go out at the same time as questions from other work tracks, our share of everyone's attention will be even smaller. And I guess that's part of the reason I want to suggest, I want to suggest to you that we get ahead of the game and get our questions out and back to the working group as a whole as early as possible. So if we need to prioritise our own questions, we do so. And I think that's fine. Terry, if we could have the next slide, please. Or Emily, or Julie, or Steve, or anyone who can control it. Thank you. So that's an action item on us all. Right now, we're sort of 15 minutes towards the top of the hour. I'm unsure, other than letting Jeff continue to write his sage-like wisdom in the form of questions into chat for the rest of the 15 minutes, whether we would be better off allowing, I hope you have a good sense of humour this morning, Jeff, or this evening for you, allowing us to put together a draft of perhaps how these questions could be in more survey style, and that because we've already agreed to use Google Docs as a collaborative tool, none of you will be averse to us using Google Forms as a collaborative tool, and that would mean that we can put it in comment mode and you can all suggest additional questions, and not only additional questions or refinements of the questions, but even suggest how we can do it and where in the document we can do it. So that's an action item on Rubens and I to get those Google Doc materials up, running, and links shared with you all. Is there any other business that anyone wishes to raise? Rubens, do you have anything you want to say or ask as a group activity or an action item on any of us before we look towards wrapping up?
No, sure.
Okay. All right. Well, we will capture those questions from chat. We will take a good notice of the notes that were created by staff during our call, and I want to thank them for their tireless work effort on supporting us in all of that. It would be very useful, Rubens, if you make sure you get to Julie the full meaning of your intervention before last, because as she mentioned, she was not able to capture more of what you said, so I'm sure it would be good if you dealt directly with Julie on that before we get those notes out from today's meeting. We will ask you all, as we ask every week, to utilise the mailing list and continue our discussion. We will meet in 2 weeks' time, and that will be what time and date, Terry? I think we're back to 1300 or something then, aren't we?
Hi, Cheryl, it's Terry. The next call for Track 4 will take place on Thursday, October 13th at 3 UTC.
Thank you, Terry. There was a 13 in it, but it was the date, not the time. that says a lot about my mind. Okay, so, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your time today. Rubens and I are pleased to give you a little over 10 minutes of your lives back, so yay us. We have action items, obviously, to formulate some specific questions that we need to use for our outreach and also to our experts. We'll be taking two approaches. One will be the letter approach for use internally and also to the Universal Acceptance Study Group. And we will take a survey approach, at least in this initial run, to see whether or not we can tease out more useful and metric-based information from our community questions. Is there anybody who wishes to say anything else before we wrap the call up? Speak now or hold your peace. Thank you very much. Thank you in particular to Avery and Jeff, who put up with attending all of our calls. So they have all of this to the power of four, in fact to the power of five, because they also manage our leadership group calls as well. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you one and all. And with this, Terry, we can wrap up the call. Bye for now.
Thank you, everyone. Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.